Well, we're joined with Josh, and welcome everybody out. I invite you to get a Bible out of the pew, or if you have your own Bible, to follow along as we study from the Word of the Lord. And if we miss something in our teaching, why, please, be a friend and point that out to us, that we can stand corrected upon what the Bible teaches. This evening, we want to talk about the unsaved, people who are not rescued from their sins yet, and what they have. And hopefully that we will all consider where we're at, and then also the position that the saved have as we develop our lesson. All right, when we talk about the unsaved, first off, the unsaved have no God. Notice that in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 12, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So when we talk about unsaved people have no God. Notice there in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 17 through 19, Paul says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Alienated from the life of God. If one is unsaved, they have no God. That is big G. They have no God. They may have the God of this world. They may have the God of mammon. They may have the God of whatever it might be. But they have no God, a true and living God. When we speak of the unsaved, something else we learn. The unsaved have no peace in that condition. In the book of Romans chapter 3, consider there in Romans chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "The way of peace have they not known." Who is he talking about? Those who have committed sin and transgression. And once we commit sin and transgression, we have no peace, no tranquility with God. Notice there in the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, in John chapter 17, and in John chapter 14, excuse me there, and verse 27, John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So those who are unsaved have no peace. They have the peace the world offers. That is, maybe some diversion. Maybe sometimes people find an escape through drinking and drugs to escape the problems and the guilt that they wrestle with. Maybe they take off on a trip somewhere trying to escape and run from all their problems. Maybe they talk to some psychologist who tries to convince them that they're not really guilty and don't worry about it and such things as that. But they have no true tranquility and peace with God. The unsaved, they have no God, and they have no peace. Consider further. When we talk about the unsaved, they have really no excuse for their condition, for the way they're living. In the book of Romans chapter 1 and in verse 20, Paul says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they without excuse." Those who are unsaved have no excuse for their sin. Notice there in the book of Luke chapter 14 and verses 15 and following. "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, Come, all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make" what? "Began to make excuses. The verse said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. I mean, who goes out and buys a piece of land without looking at it first? And another said, I've bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Who goes out and buys animals without checking them out? Would you go buy a tractor without starting it and driving it and see if all the gears work and such? And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Well, why not just bring the wife with you? So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, notice, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that they may that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Well, what's the point? Well, there is no legitimate excuse for not serving God. Those who are unsaved have no excuses. Make a lot of excuses. Dream up excuses, use human ingenuity to try to figure out and offer some sort of excuse, but none of the excuses are acceptable for not serving the Lord. The unsaved have no hope in their unsaved condition. Notice there again, Ephesians chapter 2. Look there once again and in verse 12. Ephesians 2 and in verse 12. Paul says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and stranger from the commonwealth, the covenants of promise, having no hope. Did you hear that? Having no hope, and without God in the world. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, notice there in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have what? Have no hope. So if we speak about the unsaved, we learn from the Scriptures that the unsaved, they have no God. The unsaved have no peace. The unsaved have no excuses. The unsaved have no hope in that condition. Let's look a little bit further from the Word of the Lord. When we speak about the unsaved have no Christ, no Messiah. In the book of Romans, chapter 8 there, in verses 5 through 9, Paul said this, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so if we are unsaved, we have not the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me. So we have people who reject Jesus. And his word hath one to judge him. The word that is spoken the same shall judge him in the last day. So we learn from the Scriptures that if we're unsaved, we have no God. We have no peace. We have really no excuses. Might make them. Might offer excuses, but really we have no excuse. We have no hope. We have no Christ. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, we have no escape if we're in an unsaved condition. In the book of Matthew, chapter 23, and down in verse 33, Jesus says, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? And the answer is, if you're living like that, you're not going to escape it. There will be no escape if you continue on in that condition. Consider there in the book of Romans chapter 3. Look there in Romans chapter 2 and in verse 3. He says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? No, you'll not escape, Paul says. And then look there in the book of Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews the second chapter there. And in verse 3, Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 3, the writer says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, how shall we escape? The answer is, well, there is no escape if we live and die in an unsaved condition. And then in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 25, it says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. So we speak about those who are unsaved. They have no God. They have no peace. They have no excuses. They have no hope. They have no Christ. And they have no escape if they continue in that condition. But look at the contrast now. Those who are unsaved have none of these things. Now let's look at the flip side. But the saved know God. Kind of a play on words there. The idea of know means to have an intimate relationship. Those who are saved know God. In the book of John, chapter 17, in John chapter 17 and in verse 3, Jesus prays, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Jesus says life eternal is to know God. The unsaved have no God, you know, God. But the saved know, K-N-O-W, know God, has an intimate relationship with the Lord. In the book of 1 John chapter 2, in verses 3 and 4, John says, and hereby we do know that we know him. Well, how do we know if we know God? Well, he says, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So we can know God, have that relationship with the Lord, the Lord and God the Father. Notice there in the fourth chapter, 1 John, verses 7 and 8, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and what? And knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So when we keep his commandments and our hearts filled with love, well, we know God, the saved. But look again, those who are saved, no peace. We understand what peace is all about, the tranquility that comes from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the book of Philippians chapter 4 there in verse 7, Paul said, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We can know and understand the peace, the tranquility of being in harmony with God. In the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 27, let's look at that verse again. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. What the world offers is not true tranquility with God. What Jesus offers is true peace, harmony, tranquility with God. Because of Jesus' death on the cross makes possible that we can be forgiven and no longer be at outs with the Lord. And in the book of Colossians chapter 3 there, and in verse 15 it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, so the which you're also called in one body, and be ye thankful. So we're seeing a contrast. To those who are unsaved, they have no God, but the saved know God. You talk about the unsaved, they have no peace. But those who are saved know peace. And you talk about the unsaved, they have no excuses for living in sin, but the saved, get to work here, know that excuses are worthless and unacceptable. There's no need to make excuses. There is no excuse for not serving God. There's no excuse for wrongdoing. There's no need to say, well, you know, Lord, but, you know, the reason I did this was, there is no reason. If we did wrong, we are wrong. If we commit sin, it's because we have chosen to do sin. It makes no difference what anybody else may do or not do, no matter what the circumstance is. Excuses are unacceptable. Excuses are worthless. You're just wasting your breath. You can talk till you're blue in the face of trying to convince God that somehow you are excused for wrongdoing. It doesn't work. And the same no less. You don't try to make excuses. If you do wrong, you own up to it and make it right with the Lord. And so the same no, that excuses are worthless and unacceptable. And when we talk about the saved know what hope is all about. In the book of Romans chapter 5 there, in Romans chapter 5, in verse 1 and following, Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, or proven character, and proven character hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. The saved know what genuine hope is. Oh, we use hope in so many times in our vocabulary, not in the biblical sense of hope. You know, you get those publishers clearing house sweepstakes. They come in the mail. Now they come in email. And you lick them stickers and you stick them all over here. And you do this and you do that and you mail it. And you say, boy, I hope I win that $10 million. I mean, you're going to set up and figure out how you're going to spend all that money when they send you a check for $333,000 a year. After they take the taxes out, you'll probably have close to half of that. So you're going to set up all night and start figuring and writing down all the stuff you're going to buy and what you're going to do, maybe how you're going to invest it. Well, probably not. Because when you say, well, I hope I win, you're just talking about maybe a fanciful shot in the dark, but you don't really believe you're going to win. You don't even expect to win that publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes. But that's not how the Bible talks about hope. Biblical hope is something that we desire and something that we genuinely expect to come to pass. That's biblical hope. And the Christian knows that hope and has that confidence and has expectation based upon the promise and the grace of God. In 1 John chapter 3, the first three verses, John says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Henceforth the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So we're talking about the saved. Well, we know hope. We comprehend it. We appreciate it. We experience that. When we see the contrast, the unsaved, they have no God, but we know God. You look at the unsaved, they have no, you know, they have no peace, but we know peace. The unsaved, they have no excuses, but we know excuses are worthless and we don't even try to make them. And we look at the unsaved, they have no hope, but we know what genuine hope is all about. That confident expectation of the glory to come. The unsaved have no Christ, but the saved know Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 17, verse 3 again. In John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus says, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God. But not only know God, have an intimate relationship with God, the Father, but also Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent, that they might know Jesus Christ. Notice that in the book of Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians the 3rd chapter there, in verses 10 and 11, Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of death. Paul said, I want to know him. Have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ the Savior. Paul said, I want to know the Son of God. I want to have that intimate, close relationship with the Son of God. The unsaved have, you know, no God. But the saved, no, has an intimate relationship with God. The unsaved have no peace. But we know what peace. We experience that peace and tranquility of being right with God. The unsaved, they have no excuses. They make them, offer them, and finagle in their mind and try to make themselves feel good. But the saved don't make any excuses. They come to the Lord and make it right. The unsaved have, you know, no hope. But the saved, no hope. And the unsaved, they have no Christ, but we know Christ. We have that intimate relationship with Christ. The unsaved have no escape. But ladies and gentlemen, we know what escape is. Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we escape the wrath that rests upon us. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 there in verse 4, Peter says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped. We escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. In chapter 2 and in verse 20, Peter says, For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled there and overcome, the latter end is worse than with them than the beginning. So through Jesus Christ, we escape the corruption, we escape the pollution. We know what it means to be to escape and to get away from the pollution and the corruption of the world. So the question is, for each to consider, which side are we on? Are we in the category of the unsaved who have no God, no peace, no excuses, no hope, no Christ, no escape? Are we on this side of the fence? Or is it that we are on this side, that we know God? And we have that intimate relationship to know Him and His peace, and don't make any kind of excuses, and know the hope of the gospel, to know Christ, and to know what it means to escape from the pollutions of this world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're on this side, having and being in an unsaved relationship, you can get on this side. And how do you get from this side over this side? Well, the answer is clearly taught in the Scriptures. And that is through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through God's plan of salvation. We escape from the unsaved into the realm of the saved. How so? 5 specific steps revealed in the Scriptures. It begins with the hearing of the good news of Jesus Christ. Many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. We've heard the good news of how Jesus Christ died on the cross. And then number 2, we've got to believe in Jesus, as we saw there from Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore being justified by what? By faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Number 3, we are to repent and turn to God. Luke 24 verse 47, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Number 4, we must confess Jesus before men. Matthew 10 and in verse 32, whosoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And then number 5, we must be baptized into Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that is how we escape the realm and the area of the unsaved, become a part of God's saved ones, rescued ones.
Then we come up out of that watery grave, grow and be faithful, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if we err as a child of God, as a Christian, we need to repent and pray God for forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what side are you on? The side of the unsaved or the side of the saved? If you're on the side of the unsaved, would you step out on the promise of God? And if we could help or assist you to that end, you come and let us know what we can do to help. Why together as we stand and as we sing.